episode 42. My name is Dave Hunt, and I'm joined by Michael Swick.
Technical difficulties be damned. We were going to record this episode and hope it sounds okay.
Yeah, we'll be all right. Ansel's pretty good at figuring out weird stuff. So. All right, so we are Digital Days Gaming. We are a weekly podcast that streams live on Twitch, twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming. We also upload the show every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. But you should definitely check our feed on a more regular basis because similar to last week where we released a Tony Hawk documentary interview episode that Michael did a great job on, we periodically throw things on the feed whenever we want.
Yeah, we just there's no rules. We make the rules. Well, Angela probably can set rules for us, but other than that...
She does what we tell her to do. In terms of when to post and what to post in it. So she edits, makes us sound good, and then posts it when we ask her to. So
Angela's just going to cut that out or just bleep it.
Yeah, well, she already wanted to make an editor note on the Patreon episode. I told her she could. So. All right, so our goal is to bring you weekly content that is talking about all the things that are going on in gaming, good, bad, or indifferent, and that's what we do. So if you could share our show with your friends, that would be greatly appreciated. If you could review our show, whether it's on Podcast Addict, Stitcher, iTunes, if any of that stuff, you can give us a review rating and words. It always helps. It helps us move up the charts. And then we also have some other stuff linked in the show notes, Facebook group, Twitch page, like if you're watching us live on Twitch, YouTube. So there's a new Turtle Beach unboxing video that I'll talk about a little bit tonight. And if that video is actually doing really well. So if you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, please subscribe so that we can get our own fancy like youtube.com/whatever we decide it to be. But we have to have 100 of you do that so we can do that. And then you can also just follow us on Twitter, as well as join our Discord. So all those things are linked in the show notes below, as well as ways that you can support the show is just by telling a friend, retweeting on, Twitter tremendously helps and sharing our Facebook page helps that as well. So, all right, with all of that stuff out of the way and, lastly, just making sure that you check your Amazon Prime subscription, make sure you're still subscribed. That'd be helpful.
Very.
So with that out of the way, we're going to jump right into the news, and it's going to be more negative Apple.
Hey, negative Apple? Maybe negative Epic. This is a mess. This is the craziest shit I think I've seen in years in the gaming industry. Okay, so Epic and Apple, Epic Games, creators of Fortnite, Unreal Engine, are at a war with Apple. So it's the battle of the billionaires versus the trillionaires, though Tencent might be a trillion-dollar company for all I know. So, where to begin? All right, so sometime last week, Epic Games, with Fortnite, put a separate payment option in Fortnite on mobile devices that circumvents the Apple payment method and also the Google Play Store method. And they basically cut anyone who bought from them a 30% discount. So a $10 V-Bucks pack only costs $7 if you bought it through their store on their app. This, as we talked about last week, is super against anything in Apple's terms of service. So Epic did this move, and then they released a trailer declaring Apple as a 1984 company, as a company that was against the system, but now is the system, and then filed a lawsuit because they knew what was going to be Apple's retaliation. And Apple's retaliation was they removed Fortnite from the Apple store, from iOS stores, which is a huge market that Epic would be losing from. And then Google Play also followed suit. So now, no new players can come to the Apple versions of Fortnite. So, pretty huge deal. This got better throughout the week. Because basically, Epic weaponized their fan base. Did a stupid hashtag free Fortnite, acting like they're the victims, that they were, like, the heroes in this. Like, I'll talk about that a little bit later, about, like, the benefit that can come from this, but they basically try to play the victim and then rally their fan base to attack Apple. And Apple has a lot of control in this, has now threatened to remove Epic's ability to develop games and their engine for iOS and macOS devices, which can have a huge shockwave across the industry as a lot of developers use the Unreal Engine, which will then mess them up in a long run in terms of support for future devices and just fine-tuning devices. So this is a huge, ugly mess. Epic has now filed another lawsuit to try and block that move from going, as well as have their current lawsuit of trying to get Apple to allow them to insert another payment option that circumvents Apple Store, which then prevents Apple from getting their 30% cut. This shit is crazy, Dave. That's a long-winded version of this, but what do you think about this? Because we were talking about this last week a little bit, but in a different circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, I think that with a heavy, with Fortnite being as heavy of a microtransaction type game as it is, like, this isn't uncommon for companies to say, well, if you want to be on our platform, like, we get a cut, which is rightfully so. I mean, Fortnite is partially as big as it is because it's on Apple and because it's on Android or Google Play. So I think that there always is going to be a middleman, like they're like a stepping platform. Like, you need to, in order to put your product on a service, like, you need to use their services. It's not just like free range to, for you to like produce something and put it up there. Especially since Epic takes a cut from people using their engine.
Yes.
So, you know, so this is kind of like pot meet kettle, kettle meet pot, where, like, yeah, like, for the most part, Epic has said with their engine rental, like, you can use all of our assets for free, but if your game gets to a certain standpoint, we get a piece of the action. And Fortnite is, even if Apple had something similar, Fortnite is at that point and well past it. And it's also similar to like a sports analogy of like, okay, this is Major League Baseball players versus owners. This is millionaires throwing money at other millionaires, like, with their, seeing whose money is bigger.
Yeah, but in this case, billionaires and trillionaires, so it's even crazier, yeah, amount of money.
So, I mean, again, I feel like if, I don't know what Google's cut is or Android,
30%.
Google placed it. Okay, so I feel like if I was running Google right now, or I would go to Epic and say, hey, let's do a 26%. You know, I would go down like 5% just to make sure that we have them on there. Because I do think that there is something to be said about what Epic is and what Fortnite is or isn't.
Yeah.
And I think that Fortnite ultimately does deserve some credibility for what they've been able to produce, and realize that they both need each other, but maybe they don't need each other. Like, you don't treat them like you would a brand new game developer. Like, you should, you know, take care of them so that they, you know, they want to produce more content and ways to make more money for them. I don't know if Epic would feel more inclined to push out more microtransactions if maybe it was an 80-20 versus 70-30.
Yeah.
You know, like, to where even in the long run, Apple would still benefit from it as well, because more people would be buying things. You know, it's the age old argument of like, do you want to sell, you know, five things at $5 a piece or two things at $10 a piece, you know, like, there's that back and forth.
But the thing that I have a problem with this is, it's like, Epic is kind of doing this under the guise of like, for the industry, because they would want, if they're making a big show of this, because it's like other developers then can go to Apple and be like, you're cutting them a deal.
Yeah, come talk to me when your game sells 10 million copies on my store.
Yeah, but it's one of the,
right now you're at half a million,
which is
so we'll
why
talk to you.
They're trying to basically get them to just do a standard thing like the Epic Game Store does, where the Epic Game Store is just a flat rate. It's not like the Steam one where it's tiered, where you have to sell a million copies and then you get a better cut after that. So they ended up just doing this thing to where they're trying to rally and make them the hero in this case. But just like we talked about last week, where they're playing in Apple's ecosystem, they signed up for this. It's really stupid to then act like the victim when you clearly break the terms of service you agreed to. You know, it's like if I told Dave, hey, Dave, you can come over to my house, but I have one rule. Don't shit on my floor. And then you come over to my house and then you shit on my floor. I'm going to be upset because I told you that was the one rule I had. And that's basically what Epic's doing right here. And also, like, the way they went around it, I'm sure if they wanted to have like a millionaire, trillionaire talk, they could have just went to Apple and been like, give us a better deal. Or they could have fought for the better deal. Mm-hmm. But instead, they...
And done it quietly. Yes. So nobody would have known about it.
Yeah. But that wouldn't have helped the industry overall. But the way Epic did it kind of is a little bothersome to me, and I can understand Apple's perspective a little bit. They inserted their own store into the game that you, you know, give payment details over to Epic, which, trustworthy company. But if that's the standard Epic wants, to where developers can just insert their own payment method, you know, a way of accepting payment, that could be troublesome for Apple because they lose revenue. But also the whole thing with Apple, you know, on their PC side is like, hey, this is a more safe ecosystem than PCs. If you introduce that every app can just insert their own payment method, then you're going to leave yourself up to a lot of vulnerability in terms of people acting shady. Because, you know, like right now, if an app tries to do some bullshit to charge, you can then go to Apple and get refunded that way. But if you're just paying money directly to people, then there is no way of getting that back.
Yeah, you don't know who to go after when there's a customer service problem.
You just charge back on your credit card, which can take forever. So, like, the way Fortnite's doing it, the way Epic Games is doing it, is, like, under the guise of, like, hey, we're doing this for everybody, but in reality, it's a billionaire company who's just like, we want that 30%, you know? And it's crazy. Yeah, that this is going to this, and I agree. I think Apple's cut is way too high, like the 30% thing. But also, that's like the standard cut everywhere. Google Play Store, that's the cut. Mm-hmm. The only thing with Google Play is you can easily, it's like five menu options deep, download an app from another outside of the, you know, outside of the store source. You don't have that on Apple. But like the consoles, PS4 and Xbox, those numbers have never been like very clear on what the cut is, but it's largely like accepted that it's probably around 30%, and they might make special preferential treatment for different
developers. even when you buy currency, and again, I don't like always want to go back to this, but like with Destiny releasing the cross save, you know, like I can buy something with silver, so with real money, on PS4, and I have access to that cosmetic on PC, on Xbox, on Stadia. And so whatever I purchase from the Eververse store, I have access to it. But when I'm on a different platform, so like as an example, I've purchased multiple seasons on Destiny, and of course when you buy silver, it's like it's 1,000 silver or whatever, which is $10, and you can only buy silver like in $1,100 or 1,100 denominations. Mm-hmm. So you always have extra, quote unquote, extra silver, or you buy $10 of worth of silver and you get $11 worth because they're giving you a quote unquote a deal. So I have residual silver on my account. I only have that silver on my PlayStation 4 account. I don't have access to that silver on my Xbox account. I don't have access to that silver on my PC account. Even though I have access, even though it's the same account. The reason being is because I purchased it from Sony, and Sony got a cut for it, so that it's only available to me on Sony. I would assume if I purchased the silver on the Xbox platform, it'd only be available to me on my Xbox platform.
But whatever you purchase
Xbox
with
gets
that,
a cut for that.
It will transfer over.
Right. Yes. So the fact of the matter of like the what I would find very interesting is that if Fortnite chooses to pursue this and Apple allows it, is if you're playing on your iPhone and you purchase something through the Apple Store, that it then, you know, and then you decide to go to this third party service to make your next purchase, does that show up through your App Store download? Because those, you know, again, those are two separate things. So it's very weird. And this is the same problem, is everybody wants to be able to say, I want to spend my money where I want to spend it. But then at the same time, they get annoyed when they download Fortnite and they have to make an Epic account, or you tried to play the Avengers beta and you had to make a Square Enix account, and then you have to, you know, play another game and you have to make a Bethesda account and you have to have an Activision account and all this stuff.
But how you circumvent that is you make the prices different, like Epic did, to where it's just like, do you want to spend $10 on this or $7? And people are like, I'm gonna get $7. You know, like no one's gonna spend the extra money. That's like the only way you can get people to like go through those extra hoops, which Epic knows, which is why they're doing that completely different price. Yeah, so like Epic overall, like I just don't feel like they approach this like the correct way. That this seems like they went very childish. I think it's the first time I've ever seen like a trailer for a lawsuit, which I think is just like insane, and that's basically what they did.
The really bad part is that like a board approved this to happen.
Yeah, it
like this was planned. Like this wasn't like reactionary or like they pretty much said, okay, we're gonna do this. And they're going to do this, and we're going to do this. Like they knew exactly what was going to go down, which leads me to believe that they probably had some conversation about this, about, hey, like, can we renegotiate? And Apple said, you know, F you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, and Epic's like, well, blah, 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 blah. And then Apple's like, well, we'll sue you, you know, this, that, and the other. So, so they knew, and they were ready, which makes them look even worse, too. Like, so, like, the CEO is like, all right, let's go to war. Like, it's just, especially like right now with everything that's going on with COVID, it just looks bad. It's got really bad optics from both of them. And I feel like Epic is just doubling down on, well, they're already getting bad publicity from Xbox. Let's just punch them in the face.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's going to town on this right now on Apple, which honestly, they deserve it. I mean, they're currently under a bunch of, like, you know, I think the Apple CEO, Amazon CEO, they were all like at like some virtual, like, Senate meeting, you know, a couple weeks ago. So like they're definitely getting like their ass kicked by everybody, which honestly they probably need it right now. You know, they're not really doing anything well on any of their fronts right now as a company. Like their devices aren't hitting as much, their customer service stuff has been kind of like a problem for Apple users for a while, and their practices and standards are finally being questioned, but I just don't know what this is going to mean going forward, because I don't see Apple budging on this, nor do I think Apple needs to budge on this because it's their playground. Like,
it's Apple or Android in terms of the phone store market right now. Like, it's not even about Samsung or anything like that. It's Apple or Android, and Apple is about, I mean, again, like we referenced last week, at least from a download standpoint from our podcast, Apple's about 60%.
Yeah, it's
so
they're the,
know,
market,
like they know who they are. They know what they, you know, what power that they carry. Epic knows who they are. Fortnite obviously knows what it is and what it carries. But at the same time, like when you know, like a couple years ago, when Epic accidentally turned on crossplay and it forced Sony and all these other people to talk about it and address it, like, that's different than sitting there saying, hey, I want to make more money off of your platform that you're allowing me access to. I know I agreed to some contract with you, but I don't like that contract anymore, so I'm gonna like circumvent your system.
Yeah. They're basically doing the sports thing where a player signs a contract and then has a career year, and it happens in football a lot. We'll have a career year and they're like, I need a new contract, you know? And it's just one of those things where it's just like, well, shit, like, you're signed to a 3-year deal. We're not going to rip that up and give you a 10-year deal off of this. You know, it's like, that's what we're going through. And Epic is just basically like, hey, we have the number one game.
Yeah. And the problem is, though, is like, what, it's similar to like your sports analogy. It's like, what happens if this wasn't performing as well as they wanted it to, and they wanted Apple to promote it more?
Yeah.
You know, like, would Apple, you know, like, hey, we want to renegotiate our deal to 80-20, and then it doesn't perform really well, and then they go to Apple and be like, well, what are you doing about it? Like, yeah, we're not on the front page of your store anymore. Like, no, you're not on the front page of our store anymore because we don't make as much money off you.
Yeah.
So, like, oh, I want to be on the front page of your store. Okay, well, let's renegotiate your deal again. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it, too. Like, you have to understand you have a game. You need to put it on a platform. I'm sure Sony's taking money. You know, we know Sony's taking money from microtransaction cuts and store purchases.
Yeah, they go through their market.
Xbox does. Epic does. Steam does. So whether, you know, and you went to, you know, like Apple's number one. Like, you know, like it's just the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
You want a better deal, be polite and negotiate it separately.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, like last week, I think the number that I found was like $15 billion is made off the iTunes store, the Apple App Store. And right now, we're in it like a recession. Apple stores haven't been open since March. So their hardware sales are down.
they are open, but they're not open.
No, some of them are just flat out like closed.
No,
because
my daughter was able to go buy her iPad before college at a store.
Oh yeah, but
she wasn't able to go in the store, and she had to get like a body screen done by like four people before she got her iPad that they brought outside to her.
But in terms of stuff, they're basically telling Apple like, hey, we know like shit's down right now and probably is not great for the economy. That $15 billion that you made last year, 30% of that you need to say goodbye to. You know, it's just like they're basically asking Apple, during a time where Apple's probably going to be penny pinching and trying to get whatever revenue sources they can, to like, hey, can we get a chunk of that, you know, percentage, you know?
And I think if people really knew, like, and you'll never see this number, but if you could see, if Epic really wants this deal to happen, I want Epic to publicly release the numbers that they make off Fortnite.
Yeah.
I want them to say, hey, we sold this much on the Apple App Store, and this is how much we made, and this is how much Apple took. And I want them to publicly put that number out there and then say, we want more money.
Yeah. Just be like, we aren't happy making this many billions.
Yeah.
We want, you know, a better percentage. And also, then what is that percentage that they're okay with?
Right.
You know, it's like 30% is a lot. But how much? What?
So is 5% though going 25-75-25? Like that's like in from Apple's perspective, like they're walking away from a huge chunk of money just to give up 5%.
Yeah, because then they would have to, because it's being done in the way it's being done, as Epic position themselves as the hero, then they have to lose that 5% for every transaction that's in the App Store. And again, they made 15 or 16 billion last year, so losing 5% of that would be fucking
huge. And like you said, you budge for one, and then a second one comes, and a third one comes, and a fourth one comes, and you know, like, and like maybe they need to, you know, like I'm not saying like Twitch is the example, but maybe they need to do some kind of tiered system like Twitch does. So we're a Twitch affiliate. Our cut is what our cut is. It's 50-50. When you become a partner, I believe your cut is still 50-50. And then as you negotiate your contract with Twitch, you can start changing that. But you have to have some weight behind you. Epic has the weight behind them now, but they need to respectfully negotiate their contract, because the contract is just, you know, the contract is what it is. And I don't blame Apple for sitting there saying, you get what everybody else gets.
Yeah. And also, like, they need to...
But how much are they losing with Fortnite not being on there? That is a hard question to answer, because they haven't removed the game from the store. Like, it didn't come off of your iPhone.
They removed it from the store.
If you already downloaded it,
but not the phone.
And I'm assuming you can still. So if you already had Fortnite downloaded, I'm assuming you can still play it.
Yes.
And you can still buy stuff.
Yeah, from either Apple or Epic.
Right. I guess the question would be, how many new people download Fortnite daily?
Yes, that would be the question.
And I would think that number is less now than it was 3 years ago.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that number has definitely gone down. What they're going to have to do, Apple, if they want to like end this, clearly Bad 76 is like, no, not me, is they're going to have to go to the Steam system, which the Steam system isn't great, but it's basically, if you move a certain amount of units, you get a better cut. Of your, you know, the product, you know, to where, like, I think it's like a threshold of like it's 70-30, but then after you pass a million units sold, then it moves up to 80, and it can go all the way up to 90-10%. But that top tier, to get the 90-10%, you have to sell so many fucking copies.
But I think that's a different. I'm going to sound terrible when I say this, but I think that's a different genre when you're talking about a video game versus a mobile game.
No.
I don't necessarily consider Fortnite to be a mobile game, but Flappy Bird was a thing for like 3 months, and it probably would have hit that threshold, and then it went away.
Yeah, I think they would have to find some sort of metric to measure games by, of like, here's your concurrent users daily for a month, and then after a month you can then move your scale. Like, they're gonna have to figure out some new system, or they just change it. But then it, like I said, it's gonna be like, what percentage is gonna make them happy? And Epic is basically negotiating for other developers, which is kind of shitty, because other developers will probably be happy with like going down to 25%. But if Epic is like, no, we want it down to 10%, like, will other developers just be like, no, fuck Epic, they don't represent us, you know? Like, they have to like figure that out. But this is probably going to be in court for a while.
years.
I can't wait to see the people in the Supreme Court have to talk about, like, V-Bucks. I can't wait. That's going to be... If this makes it all the way up to, like, high court, I would love to watch those trials and just, you know, see if they can call character witnesses in, you know, if they can get Backpack Kid to talk about how he was taken advantage of by Epic Games. That'd be great. I just want a really stupid trial. And then Fortnite to keep releasing trailers for their lawsuit. Like, yeah. It'd be great.
All right, so let's move on. We kind of beat that dead horse. I'm kind of tired of talking about Apple, but it's better than talking about consoles not releasing stuff. And speaking of that...
Got a couple
Halo
of those.
Halo Infinite has been delayed.
This was crazy.
On August 11th, 343 and Microsoft announced Halo will be delayed until 2021. And their quote is, "The decision to shift our release is the result of multiple factors that have contributed to development challenges, including ongoing COVID-related impacts affecting us all this year. I want to acknowledge the hard work that our team at 343 Industries, who have remained committed to making it a great game and finding solutions to development challenges. However, it is not sustainable for the well-being of our team or the overall success of the game to ship it this holiday."
Okay. My first take is this is a completely understandable move given our current circumstances in the world. My second take, what the fuck, you guys were just advertising this in your showcase as like something that's coming out at launch for your new consoles in November.
Well, it's because it didn't show well.
I know, like, but it still like baffles me. Like, I completely understand it. Any game that gets delayed this year, I feel like gets a free pass in terms of like, you know what, working from home is weird. We're going to talk about a game later that's going to talk about that. But it's really difficult to make games right now, so delaying it makes complete sense. But oh my god, losing the marquee game for your system launch is insane to me.
Alright, well, I have a hard time considering it to be a marquee game for your next-gen system launch when it's going to work on current-gen.
But it's still, like, the thing that was going to be sold with the system. As, like, especially knowing that there aren't a lot of games coming out this holiday, this was a marquee game, even though it runs on the other systems.
Yeah. No, 100%. I agree. Like not having a Halo game at launch when you've pretty much been advertising the two of them together, Series X and Halo Infinite together, since you talked about it. Like, yeah, that's a devastating blow. I want to applaud Microsoft for doing it, like, because they could have released it. Even Phil Spencer said that he talked about releasing it in parts.
Yes, which we kind of theorized that could happen when they announced it was free to play multiplayer. But
yeah. So, and I don't know how that would have been perceived if they would have said like, "Hey, your multiplayer is in November, but the campaign's not coming until January." Like, I don't know how that would have been received. But it didn't. I haven't really delved into any Halo deep enough to say anything, but what I saw didn't like wow me or make me want to play it. It certainly didn't make me want to buy a Series X at launch. It is a devastating blow because it's a marquee title, but I think that this is going to be the first of many. I think this is part of the reason why Sony hasn't officially dated anything, and I feel like there is a chance that between the two of them, between which we both like the two games that we know for I think we know for sure might be coming at launch or launch window is Ratchet and Clank and Spider-Man.
Ratchet and Clank I don't think Miles is official yet either.
Yeah, or Spider-Man Miles Morales. One of those two is going to get delayed. I'm telling you right
it's
now,
it's going to be
like
Ratchet.
One of them's
like I don't think yeah. Ratchet is going to even. Were they hinting at that being a launch game?
If not, what else are they launching? Like, you can't just launch your system with Spider-Man. Like, you have to have something else.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever officially a launch game, so we'll say that one is going to be delayed from launch, just to be on a safe side.
Like I said for the last 2 months, you're not playing Horizon Zero Dawn 2 until the earliest of holiday 2021, and that's, like, the super earliest. I don't think you're going to be playing it then either.
Yeah.
This pandemic is having a greater impact than people are talking about. We essentially saw, whether it was a production delay or not a production delay, we saw Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima affected by COVID. Mm-hmm. 100% affected by COVID. And then I believe that Ubisoft didn't say it, but a lot of their issues that they've had with Watch Dogs, and you know, were COVID related as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're, yeah, you're like Sackboy, that Sackboy game. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't consider Demon Souls is cool, but I don't consider Destruction Derby to be like a marquee title for your consoles. I just consider that to be a free to play battle royale style game that's gonna fail.
Destruction Derby, if it's not free to play, I feel like will be a PlayStation Plus game first month, because I need to have a PS5 game as, you know, PlayStation Plus. I feel like that would be a perfect PlayStation Plus game. And Microsoft immediately pivoted to like, don't worry about Halo, because you're gonna have four generations of video games to play at launch, and it's like,
they're not coming out and saying it, but they don't care if you buy the Series X at launch.
They don't.
They're in it for the long haul. They want you to be on Game Pass, like, and that's their position, and that's a prerogative. And Game Pass is a great thing. Like, I was talking to my buddy at work today, and I'm like, hey, did you check out that new Battletoads game? He's like, no, I haven't yet. I go, oh, it comes out Friday. He's like, oh, are you buying it? I'm like, it's on Game Pass. And he's like, oh.
it changes the discussion. It's just, there's no...
No chance, no, Bad 76, no chance in hell you're playing that game fall 2021.
Horizon
Sorry.
Zero Dawn.
you can put the crack pipe down. Yeah. You are not playing that game before Thanksgiving 2021.
That's winter.
but there's no, and that's at the super earliest.
When Halo got announced, even though I was not really considering buying Halo, it immediately just made me like, fuck, I'm not as excited anymore for you know, the new systems to come out, even though I'm not a Halo fan.
Glorious War puts in chat like the games he listed, the Sackboy and the Demon Souls and the Destruction Derby. Like, I agree with you, those games are better than none, but we don't even know what either one of these consoles' launch libraries are, because we're going to transition to the next one, something we thought was going to be coming around launch on PlayStation 5 exclusively. Deathloop has also been delayed again.
Yeah.
Or not again, but has been delayed as well. So at this point in time, like, without the consoles being dated, I don't really know what you consider to be a delay.
Anything that slips into 2021, I guess you'd consider that a delay.
But how big is the launch window? 90 days? Well, if the launch window's 90 days, you're in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, it's every company treats launch window at their convenience. I think Nintendo had a 6-month launch window for the Wii U. So, like, companies are always moving those markers around. But, yeah, like...
And then again with the transitions, like it's a later story. Like it's here. We can kind of transition into some of it, because both, okay, so Halo's been delayed, Deathloop's been delayed. Okay, so then the counter to this point is, you have two companies, two different standards going on here, because you have these stories. I'm just going to link them together. So 505 Games with Control is coming out and saying, well, you can't play our stuff unless you buy the better version of our game. You're not going to be able to play it on PS5. So, you know, 505 Games and Control announced that only Ultimate Edition owners will get the free upgrade to PS5 and Xbox Series X versions of the game. So they're on the same 2K bullshit.
Yeah. Oh my God, when that news broke, I was so annoyed, because I'm like, you know what? I would want to play Control on a better performing system. And then it's just like, I have the deluxe edition that has the DLC included. I'm not including this. Oh, cool. Fantastic.
And then out of nowhere, Ghost of Tsushima goes, hey, we're going to put some multiplayer in our game, and it's free, and it's co-op. It's coming out in holiday, or this fall, or whatever, and you mean to tell me that this game's not going to run on PS5? Come on.
Yeah.
It's gonna look way better on PS5, and it's almost to the point now where I'm going to wait until it's on PS5 to play it.
Yeah.
Because, you know... And it's free. Like, so it's what these companies are deciding to do or aren't deciding to do is fascinating to me. It's like, okay, it's better to delay and to just take the hit now than to get a terrible review, or to first week of launch people say Halo's broken, don't buy a Series X because it just doesn't work. Like, that could be detrimental to them, mm-hmm. to where Microsoft's like, you know what, we're going to pump the brakes, we're going to push it back. But then you have another company, 2K and 505, that are like, fuck the consumer. Like, you have to buy it again.
Yeah.
When Cyberpunk's coming out, and you know, it's so weird. It's and I don't want to compare it to current events, but it's like, Alabama's doing this. Why is it Illinois doing it?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, and each company has to do what they have to do to make it and to make water. And the other, and the big companies are just sitting there looking at these small, like Sony and Microsoft, like Microsoft just delayed Halo, but, and they're like, we haven't even dated our consoles, and these companies are making themselves look like idiots.
Yeah. And then you have Square Enix being like, yeah, Avengers is coming out, and that shit's broken as fuck for most people, you know? And that's just going to be limping across the September finish line of just like, oh, yeah, man.
Please buy a Butterfinger so you can get a skin in our game, please.
Yeah, like, it's just crazy. Like, so there was something with, like, the Deathloop one, which I didn't even think about. So in the VG247 article, they specifically mentioned when they talked to Arkane Studios about just, like, the issue they're having with just data bottlenecks in terms of like moving assets from home to like the main server is like a real problem for them, delaying everything that they want to do, because you know, like, shit, we had problems just streaming this tonight with our internets.
Yeah.
Let alone moving 4K assets, you know, from home to work is just crazy. So like,
But we can, and again, I'm going to get a little current of any, but yeah, we can 100% do a virtual school system for all of our kids in the country.
Oh, yeah.
They can't develop a game in, you know, in 18 months from people working at home and uploading stuff to and from OneDrive, but our kids can learn how to do stuff on a computer, and, you know, or they can just go, you know, it's like, you have to realize that what these companies have that their normal is so broken right now. It's so broken. And that they're learning on the fly, just like we are all learning on the fly with this stuff going on. And it's better just, and as much as I criticize it, and I've been criticizing it for months, it's better just to stay quiet.
Yeah.
Because when you open your mouth, you sound like 505.
Yeah. Where you just need to make a bad business decision.
Ultimate edition players. Like, what?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, man. Yeah. So, like, I feel for any developer, and I applaud them for when they delay it, and, you know, COVID's the reason. This is the only time you can get away with it, because
You have a built-in cop-out.
Yeah.
Even if it's not COVID's fault, just point at it.
Yeah. And just be like, hey, guys, sorry, video games are really difficult without COVID, and they're way more difficult with COVID. So, yeah. You know, and now I'm at this point with all these games being like, you know what, we can't do it. I'm looking at games that are launching this holiday, skeptical as fuck. You know, like, I don't know what experience I'm going to even get. You know, when a couple months ago we heard about, like, Sony couldn't, like, get people in the same room to approve some hardware stuff, but then they still want to sell a console at the end of the year. I'm just like, what the hell? Like, I almost want to opt out of this launch just so we don't end up in a situation with the 360 where, like, all the launch models had red ring issues, you know? Like, I don't want to get hardware hot off the machine, and I don't want games that are super broken that should have been delayed.
Yeah.
It's baffling just to see all this go down. But I'll probably,
and I feel like they can't or they won't delay the console launch because they don't want to take the financial hit.
Yeah. And they would rather probably just understock the console just so they can have, like, scarcity runs, mm-hmm. you know, of just like, hey, we only made so many millions of copies, and oh, they all sold out, and just like...
Well, NPD over the last 6 months is telling them that people are buying this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, hardware sales are up, and, you know, like, you know, there more people are playing games right now, so they're looking into more stuff. I mean, we've seen, you know, a small increase in our download numbers because maybe people are searching some stuff on the internet more, or they're in the, you know, they're playing video games with their friends that have been playing video games for a while that are telling them, hey, this is coming, or hey, Game Pass is a thing. So more people are being exposed to more things, and, you know, like, to maybe somebody might want to get a PS5 at launch because they're having a good time, whether they're playing Destiny, playing Fortnite, playing Minecraft, playing the Avengers, whatever they're playing, and it's gonna run better or look better on your fancy TV that you've been watching all your live sporting events on that you can't get to watch, or you won't be able to watch because no season's gonna be going after Halloween.
No.
You know, so like, you start using, you know, your TV to your benefit, and one of the best ways to do that is, you know, is to play games. And people are discovering that they're fun and they're more social than they were, you know, 20 years ago. So if somebody, you know, like let's say they're my age, like in their, you know, in their late 30s and they started, you know, they picked up, a Series X or they've always had one and they start playing games with their buddies again. And, you know, they're playing Call of Duty together and it's like, oh, it's going to, hey, you got to, you know, get the new box. Like, oh, yeah, I'll get the new box if you guys are moving. And then all of a sudden they can't get the box.
Yeah.
You know, like it's going to be weird. But I don't want Deathloop to come out and to bring a new IP out and half bake it because they feel like they have to be ready at launch.
Yeah.
Like it's not the developer, the game developer's job.
So they can bring out a half baked game and get away with it and be like, yo, we're from Bethesda. You know,
But it's not the developer's job to be ready when the console's ready.
No. They just need to make the games and not worry about the hardware, you know, in terms of like how many will be there and like how many are functional sort of thing. They just need to make the games, and I'm glad that they're being allowed to delay, take the hit. Because honestly,
no, it's fascinating to me though. Like, let's flip this. So, Deathloop is expected to be a PS5 exclusive, and I'm curious now. Like, so Microsoft just delayed a Microsoft Studio game in Halo Infinite. Mm-hmm. How do you think? We've heard that Sony has been very, you know, if you listen to, you know, Jason Schreier, and Sony's always been very receptive of having the developer take the time they need to make their game, whether it's first party developers or second party or third party. So I'm curious as to if Bethesda was developing Deathloop exclusively for Xbox, how forthcoming or receptive do you think Microsoft would have been of Deathloop going to them and saying, hey, we need to delay this?
I don't think they would have had the choice in this current climate. Like, I don't think they would have been able to fight them on it. Especially losing Halo, they would probably be like, you know what? We don't want a broken game on our day one system. Like, they would have to just take the hit. I think right now is a good time if you're a developer and you just don't feel like your game can hit, like, the date the publisher put on you. You can just get away without having to deal with it.
Okay, so then how many more games have to be delayed outside of November for either console manufacturer to go, hey, you know what? We can't release in November.
No, I think they're coming out. Like, they're coming
out. Even without any software?
Any software is impossible. Like, I think Spider-Man will probably come out because it's just kind of...
I agree. It's just kind of the same engine. It's not a copy-paste scenario, yeah. But it is kind of a copy-paste scenario.
It's a 6 to 8 hour
like, okay,
campaign, potentially, like...
Yeah, it's Lost Legacy.
Yeah. And they'll probably use, like, Xbox has actually been positioning their marketing pretty well of just, like, it's better on Series X to where they already have a bunch of games coming out for the old systems that will just run better. So
Madden's going to look better. The new Call of Duty's going to look better. It's going to run better. Yeah. Again, Destiny's going to run in 4K 60 frames. Like, the games that you're already playing, you're already committed to, are going to look better. And I think that's fine. Like, but I just wonder, like, should Series X or PS5 come out in November?
They shouldn't.
Should it?
They shouldn't. I don't think they should, I don't think they should come out this holiday. But honestly, launches are usually only for like the hardcore crowd or whatever word you want to use. So those systems are already going to be sold no matter what, because like the hardcore crowd will just buy it no matter what. We're complaining. We're going to buy a PS5 day one. You know?
No, I agree, but I'm going to buy it because of what we do. For the most part, that's a huge factor in what we do. If I wasn't doing this, I might have a hard time looking at one or two. Like, okay, so typically, let's just say that on launch day, let's say there's 8 games coming out on launch, okay? I don't remember the numbers, but usually you're interested in 4 or 5, and you would probably buy 2.
Yes.
Agree?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So now let's say that as this number shrinks, so now that they're launching 4 or 5, which maybe you're interested in 2 or 3, does that mean that you buy 1?
Yeah, probably.
So, like, is it worth me buying a $500 console for 1 game? Now, yeah, I know that I have my Destiny and my Madden and my Call of Duty that'll look better and run better on there, but if... You know, like, then some of these questions aren't answered. If I'm playing Madden on PS5, can I play against my son who's playing on PS4? Like, that hasn't been answered
yet. Yeah, I would assume yes, but...
I agree, yeah. But we couldn't play on PS4 to PS3.
Yeah. So we'll probably see that. Either way, this launch is going to look like Godfall is going to have no competition, and Godfall is going to do so well, despite it being Godfall.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to start doing some research and putting together launch libraries for the month of November. Like, I'm actually gonna really have to start digging around and seeing what's there.
So I do have a list that Inverse put together. If you want to hear it, though, 4 or 5 of these games have already been delayed.
All right. Well, actually, I don't necessarily want to hear the names of the games, but how many games are slated at PS5 holiday? I guess.
Let me subtract. The games that were delayed. So they basically have a list of 15 games that are supposed to be out around launch.
How many of those are upgrades?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Bad 76 bundles would be 100% retail store driven, not Sony or Xbox driven.
So 7 of the 15 games are going to be on old gen consoles.
Okay, so half.
Yeah. Well, maybe a little more than that for some of these indie games. But yeah, half of them are going to be that. Of the 15 games, 3 of them on this list were delayed. So yeah.
So now it's down to 12.
Yeah. So we're looking at like 3, 4, or 5. 3 or 4. Yeah, yeah. 3 to 5 games that are going to be there around launch. And we still
that are
have
new,
yeah, and we still unquote,
air quoted new,
and we still have 4 months or 3 months for them to get delayed.
Well, and yeah, to either get delayed, but we've also heard rumors that Sony has more PS5 news,
which I think everyone's been saying. So we'll see, because I guess it can't just announce the release date and price without having like some sort of like state of play event. So you would assume they would have more games to show then. But yeah, let's get off this thing, because I feel like this is like the endless cycle we always end up in. Yeah, so we talked about it earlier. So Halo Infinite delayed, Deathloop delayed, Control. I just want to mention Control again. Some bullshit. Like in the notes, Dave can attest to this. It literally says for my headline, Control on some bullshit. I'm guessing this is a 505 deal, because I don't think Remedy would want to do this. But yeah, the Ultimate Edition stuff is just frustrating, especially as someone who bought like the Deluxe Edition.
Yeah.
What the hell? So I'm left out. There's still time for them to fix this. I have a feeling they will backtrack on this eventually.
Just do the $10 upgrade thing.
I would be just fine with that. Like, if they wanted $10, like, I would upgrade. Like, but this was crazy, you know? Like, so I guess I'm gonna have to buy, like, I'm guessing the Game of the Year Edition is gonna cost $60, so I have to pay an extra $60. For the PS4 version to get it on PS5, or just buy the PS5 version for $60. And then Ghost of Tsushima is going to get a 2-4 player multiplayer mode that features story co-op modes and a raid, which is just insane to me, which makes me wonder, did COVID delay this to where they just couldn't have it out around release date, and they thought they were probably going to have the PS5 stuff all taken care of, so they just delayed the multiplayer? This is amazing. I didn't expect any of this, so I'm like, surprised and amazed with it. I haven't started Ghost yet. It's just been like I've been delaying getting it, but at this point
it's the same thing that I said a couple weeks ago. Like, there's nothing that somebody, you know, anybody, and we talked to multiple people, and there are some people in our Facebook group that sit there and say like, this game is amazing and it's one of the best,
yeah,
you know, best
which
games
is fair.
And
it might be for them.
And then there's other people that are like, oh, it feels like such a slog because of how long it is. And, you know, so it's definitely like very much down, you know, kind of divided down the middle. So I've been comparing it, rightfully or wrongfully, to it's kind of getting like the Days Gone treatment.
Yeah,
where I feel like the longer it's been out, the more people are playing it, the more people are being positive about it. But there's not anything that I've perceived that's happens or happens in Ghost of Tsushima that are people like, this is a must play.
Yeah,
like, right.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, that's how I feel, which is why I just haven't started it and I've just been playing other things.
And then them putting the word, I'm sorry, like, and again, I hold it to a different standard, but them putting the word raid is a very interesting and powerful word in the gaming industry right now, in terms of Anthems and Divisions and Destinies and, you know, even Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Any
like,
games
I think
with
that
service.
A lot. Yeah, like it's interesting because, like, even Avengers has been hinting at raids. And I think that in terms of, like you said, games as a service, trying to sell some type of pinnacle activity that is free.
They said no microtransactions already, if that helps.
That is free. It doesn't help. But, I mean, it's like, okay, well, like, I don't think this raid sucks, they can then, and Sucker Punch comes out and say, well, we didn't even charge you for it. Why are you criticizing us?
Yeah. Yeah, it sets the expectations kind of low if it's free, no microtransactions, of like, well, this could just be something you just play once or twice. It's like when they added the co-op to Killzone Shadowfall, but you had to pay for that. Mm-hmm. It was okay, you know. It was fine. It wasn't groundbreaking.
But it was $20 worth.
Yeah, yeah. This could be really cool. I'm just glad they're adding extra content to it. I feel bad for anyone that traded it in, though. If you didn't, I don't know if you can trade in games during COVID right now. Anyways, but yeah, this is a great plan. It's crazy they didn't announce a multiplayer mode coming. Later.
Yeah, they didn't tease it before it came out or anything like that. I mean, we've heard like Naughty Dog sit there and say, we couldn't get anything ready for you at launch, but there is some cool experience that we're working on. They even hinted at it being sold completely separately.
Mm-hmm. This was a complete surprise, which was great that they were able to keep it secret and surprise everyone with it. Or at least I was surprised.
Yeah, it wasn't data mined or anything, you know?
Yeah, but that's it for news.
So. All right, so what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Fall Guys. Still playing Fall Guys, staying up way too late to play that. Got my third win. So happy to get that. I won two games on the first day, and I haven't won since. So I've just been dying. I was like, I'm never going to get a win again. I got to win. I stole a tail from my friend in the finals when he was trying to do the five wins in a row trophy. That's really hard, and he was on win three. So I feel kind of bad.
Okay, he was on win three.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, how much of a dick are you really?
No. If he was on four, I would have just helped him and like blocked. But he was on three, and it was my last game and 3 a.m. So I was just like, I'm taking this. So a lot of Fall Guys. I did hop back into Avengers, played co-op with it. You can find a stream for it. Holy shit, when you include a friend in your game, it is buggy as hell. That game was like super buggy.
I'm actually kind of glad that I didn't
waste
make
your time
to play this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, specifically, I even had my son download it because I wanted him to check it out to see what he thought, you know, because, like, I did pre-order it just because I wanted the beta code that I wasn't able to play. And then, you know, I heard your impressions of the beta, like the closed beta, and I'm like, oh, the open beta's this weekend, I'll play it. And then the impressions and the articles that I read between the closed beta and the open beta were like, okay, like, I don't really need to do this right now.
Yeah, no, it was buggy, and also just, like, I had my friend with me, and we were playing it, and we were just having fun with the conversation, but the gameplay is just not, there's not enough depth there for it to be challenging or fun. We were, like, level 12, and we did a level 20 challenge, or mission. It was no big deal. It was just annoying. Like, the boss battle in that was just the most frustrating, stupid boss battle. Again, it was buggy. Just how they do the lobby system's annoying. So, like, you go to the war table, you pick your mission, you invite your friend, he'll load into it a character select screen, select your character,
oh my God.
And then you'll load into the war table, and then load the mission. Which then brings you to a loading screen where they're on the ship, and then that is another load screen that takes you to the game. And it's just like, why did you do this?
I hate to continuously bring up Destiny, but when you see a company that can actually do co-op correctly, you can drop in and drop out on Destiny all you want, as long as the fire team's not full. There's no you can back out and switch characters, and it always works. Always.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't understand. Like, BioWare effed it up with Anthem's join system. The divisions can be clunky as all get out, and it's just like I can click on a guy's name in Destiny and I can join him. Like, why can you not either? You developers need to do one of two things on a drop in drop out co op game as a service. You either need to go to Bungie and take the person that's doing that job, or the guy that works under the guy that's doing that job, increase his salary and take him.
In
a job world.
They took people from other studios.
Or you need to stop saying, oh, we don't want to be like them, so we're going to do something different. Like, quit it.
Yeah.
Like, whether you like Destiny or don't like Destiny, like, they've been around for 6 years. And they randomly, you know, whenever they release new content, they're in the top five on Steam.
Yeah.
You know, and they're there. And then they fall down and they go up and they fall down and they go up. Versus Anthem just falls off a cliff and gets buried and then gets stepped on and gets buried again. And then Division 2 is just nowhere to be seen right now. Like, we don't want to be like them because look at what they did. Like, well, they're still here and you're not. So in terms of like loading and then just to go back, like that's stuff that would frustrate the hell out of me. That would stop me from playing the game.
Yeah, like it was when me and my friend were kind of confused because like we're like, okay, because it took us a couple times to, you can all see this on a stream. It's not going to be archived because it's a mess. But you can look on our Twitch channel to see like the frustration of just loading in, of just like we were even confused of just like, because we had some connection issues. It's a beta, so connection issues are fine. But just like setting up of just like, okay, what are we loading into now? Oh, are we in the game? No, we're in this menu. Let's load into the next thing. Okay, are we in the game? Oh no, this is another load screen. You know, when you get that minute countdown timer that just leads to another countdown timer, you're just like, what are we doing? And just kind of takes the fun out of it. Especially like, it's not drop in, drop out. You have to like load the missions and everything like that. Oh. So like my friend dropped at one point and it was just like, all right, I guess I'll just quit out because you can't hop in apparently, or at least in a beta he couldn't hop in. So I was just like, okay.
Well, it's too late. Like this game comes out in 30 days. Like it's too late.
Well, unless he just didn't see the option when he dropped out, there was no way for him to drop back in. So I was just like, oh, I guess I'll finish the mission.
If you don't see the option, that's the AI's fault, not the AI's fault. That's the user interface fault.
Yeah,
like that's bad UI. And UI on a game like this is very, very important in terms of, like, I hate games that you have to constantly be in the menus unless there's actually something meaningful to look at in the menus, or you have time to look at in the menus.
Yeah. And it was just kind of annoying because it was just like, you know, I'm not like loot hungry, but like me and my friend were like, oh, we got loot, but it just didn't matter because it doesn't make a cosmetic difference. You don't see anything. It just moves up numbers a little bit. But even then, it doesn't
anything. Which was confusing to me when you and I were having the conversation on Twitter where you're like, no, there's loot in there. I'm like, oh, can you change Hulk's color? You're like, well, no, you can put like a bracelet on him and he does something strong. I'm like, huh?
Yeah. So you can get cosmetics, but they're whole outfits and your loot doesn't change your character's like personal look. So it's like,
but you have to buy them.
No, they just unlock through challenges.
Okay.
So you can do that. But at the same time, it's just like, I just kept hitting the equip best loot button because it didn't matter to me. Like I didn't care, and the enemies aren't really that challenging to where I'm just like, oh, this enemy's maybe resistance
right
to something.
Well, they talked about that, about the standard level you were at in there was something Kotaku or somebody did that I saw this week that talked about enemy differentiating and different enemies based on your level, and it sounds like they just said, well, it's a beta, so it's just a small slice of the leveling system,
which is like, you know, it's an open beta, it's a demo, your game comes out in a couple of weeks, like you could do a better showing.
You definitely, you know, like right, wrong, or indifferent, Division 2 had their, you know, their open beta and it had endgame in it. Like you after you completed like a couple of the campaign missions, it gave you the option, do you want to go up to level 30 and do this thing, and this is what it's going to feel like. And you know, like, and they, you know, some people liked it, some people didn't like it, but at least you know, Division showed their cards and said, hey, this is what endgame looks like.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where like I was talking with my friend while we're playing, I'm like, do you think you might get this? And he's like, no, if you get it. And we're both just don't want to be the one who's like, yes, we'll get it, and lock the other person into getting it. And also like
Johnny is a boy, put it best, after he played the beta, he's like, this is a $20 Black Friday special.
That's what I told my friend. I'm like, if it goes to 20 or 40, I'll probably pick it up. But even then, like I told my friend, I'm like, realistically, we're 30. It's really hard to get together and do a play date to begin with. So do we want to commit to a $40, $60 game that will co-op like once or twice? You know, so like, it's such a disappointment. It had so much potential. Just thinking about like what they could do for raids. Like you can introduce like Thanos or Galactus. There's so many cool things they could do with it, but there's just nothing there for me to enjoy.
And sadly, if the game doesn't sell, they're not going to put the time into it.
Oh yeah, Square Enix won't. Like they'll release Spider-Man because they have to, and then that'll be the last one. And there's the DLC characters got leaked through data mining, and there's some cool characters they can do. It's all Marvel Cinematic characters for the most part, but they're all there, which could be cool, but I don't think they're going to get to it unless...
Yeah, but they also, especially if they're going to be quote-unquote free.
Yeah, like I don't think they'll get to it. We'll see when they announce a proper roadmap for with character names attached to that roadmap.
Which they should do before launch.
They kind of
need to.
That
would be the right thing to do.
All we know is Hawkeye and Spider-Man, and it's just like, well, is that 2 months of content, you know, like after release, or what are you talking about? And then we got access to the Tony Hawk warehouse demo. I didn't have to order Chipotle to get it, thank God. So that felt really good. I was really happy. It was just a bare bones demo. It was only the warehouse level 2-minute sessions. No objectives or anything like that. It was just a skate session. It feels really good. It looks good. I'm very excited for this, but I'm trying to hold back being overhyped because I've been burned before. Tony Hawk 5, I played an E3 demo that looked or that played really well, and then that game turned out to be bad. So like this one, it's a very small slice of the game. It felt good. It felt like Tony Hawk game should, and it looked good. The music's there. I am excited for this game. I already have the stupid collector's edition with the skateboard pre-ordered. So like I'm locked in.
Quote them.
Yeah, I'm locked in. Confirm it. Yeah, unless I flip it to someone. So I'm excited for this. It felt really good. There's like 4 sessions on our Twitch channel of me playing the game. I was going to put them on YouTube, but they all have copyright music that'll probably get us struck, and Twitch might strike it too. But I'm excited for it. It plays really well. It had me thinking of picking up like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4, which I just don't really have memories of. And I'm just like, why don't I have memories of that game? So I'm thinking of like eBay hunting for the 4th game just to play it. But yeah, no, it felt really good. So that's it for playing, other than Tetris 99, of course, because that's just like a given now. I've been watching an embarrassing amount of sports. It's just been my, like, I can't figure out what to play. I don't want to jump into Ghost. I only play Fall Guys when my friends are online, so I won't play Fall Guys solo. So when I don't know what to do and it's the middle of the day, like NBA's been really good with having like 8 hours of like
there's playoff games on at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's basically what I've been doing. Like when Sarah's at work, I'll just watch a basketball game or a baseball game, and then turn my brain off the entire time. And then as soon as she gets off work, then I'll like do whatever. And so I've been watching an embarrassing amount of sports. I'm kind of ashamed of myself with like how often she like comes into the room and she's like, are you watching basketball again? I'm like, yeah, it's the Milwaukee Bucks versus another team I don't give a shit about, but it's on. So doing a lot of that. Then I just want to talk briefly. So last week I interviewed the creators of the Tony Hawk Pro Skater documentary, Pretending I'm a Superman. I did get the chance to watch it a couple days ago. And I really loved it. Like I was a little worried about it at first because like the length of the documentary is like a little over an hour. I think it like clocks in at like an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 12 minutes. And I was worried it was going to be too short. There's some instances where I do feel like they could have expanded a little bit, but I loved the level they like looked at skateboarding. Like it goes all the way back to like the 80s and like, skateboarding's past and it's like rise in like in pop culture. Like it ties in the X Games really well with everything, just because X Games is right when it took off and the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 came out right around the same time as that.
Like mid 90s, right?
Mid to late 90s is when X Games started.
96.
Yeah, and they talked about how the X Games didn't start out too well, like as a representation, but by the time X Games found its footing is right around when the Tony Hawk games came out. And just all the cool things that I didn't know about, just like Tony Hawk didn't hit the 900, like his iconic move, until like 3 months before the game came out. Some like crazy timeline between that was fascinating to see. And then just seeing how the games affected not only Tony Hawk's life, the developer's life, but also the skateboarders that were included in the game. You know, Rodney Mullen has like a really great story of just like, he was kind of on the downturn of his like skateboarding career and, you know, like just like in general, and the skateboarding games came out and it like changed his life, and just seeing how it affected different people, different artists like Goldfinger, who have the iconic Superman song. Just hearing how that affected their careers, their song being included in this game that no one knew was going to be a success. So just seeing like the actual impact of the Tony Hawk games in this documentary was good. And the documentary also does tie into like the downfall of the franchise, though that's where I think the documentary probably could have spent a little bit more time, because it kind of just kind of just rushed over that, where like Tony Hawk does talk about like the failures and just how after the first four pro skater games, they got to the underground games, and then that's when the game started to become less and less cool. And then they talk a little bit about the financial situation with Tony Hawk and Activision. But that chunk, I wish they spent a little bit more time with, because I'm more fascinated in like the downfall of that franchise. Because you have like just the plastic peripheral stuff, which Tony Hawk still to this day like will say like the second game is where he wanted it to be, and it was like, I don't know about that. But overall, like the access they got in terms of talking with the developers, talking with the skateboarders, the musicians, all the people that made the franchise what it was fascinating. And that access makes this a really compelling documentary. And it actually isn't too bad. Like, it's like, I think it's like a $5-6 rental on most video on demand services, or you can buy it for $10. So it's a really good documentary. If not just a little bit on the short side, but it's only short because it was so good you wanted it to keep going, sort of situation, to where I'm looking at the runtime like, oh man, they only have like 10 minutes left. There's so much more they can cover, and I want more. So I highly recommend checking out this documentary. We don't rate movies on this, so I'm not going to put a score on it. All I can say is if you care about skateboarding or the Tony Hawk video games, this is definitely a worthwhile like watch. But that is it for me. And it's available now on like all the on-demand services.
Yep. And if you haven't checked it out, there's definitely that interview on the feed. It's an episode or two back. It's got the picture of Tony Hawk and the documentary cover on it. So it's right there on your podcast feed. So you should definitely check that out. And again, share that to other friends you know that might be skateboarding fans, or maybe they talk to you about the documentary. So that would be really cool if you'd share that. So. My playing and watching is very short, just because I did move my daughter into her dorms last week down in Kentucky, which was a 2-day process, and then, you know, came back to work and was continuously working. And it was a long couple days to do that. But then played a little bit more Destiny, because they brought out like another Solstice of Heroes, like their summer event, just to check it out. And again, just when I'm tired, and I started playing more games upstairs, partially because like my son sometimes needs to do homework, and so he uses like my office space. So I've been playing games more upstairs, and I had not had to, but I was testing and starting to the review process for my Turtle Beach Stealth 600 Gen 2s that I did an unboxing for that are on our YouTube channel. And I'm actually really enjoying the headphones. I'm going to do a full review on them next week after I get a little bit more time to test them. I need to see if they work on a PC at all. I don't think that they will. But I know that they've told me that they work on a Switch when it's in dock mode, and I haven't had a chance to test that, partially because I forgot. But in the unboxing video, you can see me kind of mess with the headphones. I will record unboxing videos with a camera or or my phone going forward, so there won't be that audio delay. So yeah, I know there's an audio delay in there. Sorry. Yeah. but the gist of it is that these are the Stealth 600s Generation 2. So the Stealth 600s for Turtle Beach were one of their best-selling headphones on the PS4, on the current-gen platforms, Xbox and PlayStation, of all time. And this is the second version of them. So there's a couple things that I really like about them. The ear cups are actually built that are glasses friendly. So for those of you that, you know, maybe don't see me on Twitch, like I wear glasses, and they don't bother my glasses. They don't push them forward. They don't pinch my head. They don't do any of that stuff. From a comfort level, they are comfortable. They are not as comfortable as some of the other headphones that I own. But to be fair, I own some pretty high end headphones that I've been graciously given by, you know, for reviews and previous times, or as gifts from developers, like the Logitech ones that you guys see me wear on the stream all the time. These Logitech Pro X wired, these are probably the most comfortable headphones that I've ever worn. So I need to take that with a grain of salt when I put other headphones on, because these are like $300 headphones, and the Turtle Beach are $100 headphones. So for a $100 wireless headphone, I think that these are top tier. So I will get into more details on that next week when I do a full review. And watching, I've just been, you know, same as you. I kind of started watching, you know, a little bit more baseball. Tigers were playing good for a little while. Now they're not. So
thank you, Tigers. Thank you.
Yeah. So. The White Sox beat up on them. So, just kind of been following the stuff, kind of paying attention. I am going to review Neversong. So I've been playing a little bit of Neversong. Part of the reason why this review is taking me a little while is because the game just wasn't grabbing me. But one of the hardest things, like Michael's always hinted at doing, is reviewing a game that maybe you're not having fun with, but you understand the perspective of what they're trying to go after. Mm-hmm. And Neversong does a really good job of what it's going after. It's kind of a dark themed, story driven, narrative driven game. It's storybook art look, a 2D side scroller, you know, kind of platformer, puzzle platformer, and doesn't do any hand holding at all. So like it kind of just puts you in the game and kind of has you figured out. It has probably some of the best voice acting that I've had on a game in a long time, in terms of there's like only kids in this world. It's like an adultless world because of, you know, your character was put into a coma and your best friend was taken by like some dark shadowy figure. I don't want to spoil anything. Now it's an adultless world as you're kind of progressing through and getting farther away from, you know, the park, and very simple combat jump. You end up picking up a bat as a melee weapon, you know, and again, there's puzzles to figure out. The combat is a little annoying, and I feel like a little unnecessary. The boss fights are probably the highlight of the combat, but the other one is just like it's kind of like just the traversal combat. Like as you're moving from area to area, it just feels like it's there just to be there. It doesn't really feel like it has any impact. It doesn't really give you any reward for doing it. So I sometimes wish if you could just kind of run away from it, you would. But the puzzles are complex enough that to make it fun and interesting. And there is some dark humor in this, and there's also just a kind of a dark story in it. So just kind of beware. It's a little bit of a mind bender type story, which isn't always my cup of tea. But they overall did a fantastic job telling the story through like a storyboard style of the and like I said, the voice acting of whether it's adults doing this voice acting, they all sound like kids, and they did a fantastic job, and the dialogue interaction you can have with it within your character and the other characters is always interesting as well. I don't love the fact that there's like I said, there's literally like no hand holding, so like you can feel lost sometimes, not for very long, but long enough that it's frustrating. It's at like 4 hours at the most to play this game. It's a $20 game, so $20 or $30. It overall, like it's okay. The story didn't grab me, but I can definitely see it as being a story that could grab somebody. It's kind of like one of those things partially of like why I haven't played Hellblade, because people are like, that game's gonna mess with your head. Like,
yeah,
I don't like to play video games to mess with my head. Like, I like to play video games to kind of like get away from everything in the world and just play it, and you know, maybe this game made me think about some things I didn't want to think about. So maybe that's kind of why I'm souring on it a little bit. But overall, like as a game, it's good. It's fun to play. The story is well written. It just didn't put its hooks into me. So, but at the same time, I 100% respect what they were trying to accomplish and what they were trying to do. I think that they, for the majority of people, they can do that and they will do that. And for me, it just didn't do it as well as maybe they were hoping for. So like it's gonna get like a 3 out of 5. It works, it's fun, it looks cool, it's got graceful, it's got great voice acting, it's got a well-written story. Like I said, combat can be a little eh, but the boss fights are intriguing enough. So yeah, it's like a 3.5 out of 5. So
yeah, it's kind of where I expected it to be, to be completely honest, based on what I saw from it. But yeah, no, I'm glad you at least were able to enjoy it somewhat, even if you weren't able to fully get into it.
It's important for both of us to kind of get out of our comfort zone. Yeah. It's like, that's fine. Like, and I'll probably still mess with it a little bit more. There's nothing. You just got to know what you're getting into. So if you want to play this game, I would just recommend watching a couple trailers, like, and just, you know, just to see if it's, you know, something that you really want. So
yeah. We went kind of long this week, so I think we're going to wrap up the show a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, did you you didn't play anything else, right? That was pretty much it.
No, just like I said, dabbled in Destiny a little bit, working a lot of it, working on my armor because I'm hooked on that game and I want the cool, pretty stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, like, I mean, we didn't necessarily mean to go off crazy on like the delays and things like that, but that's what's going on right now. So and I know you guys really seem to enjoy those conversations and enjoy a little bit of the insight that we have into it, and hopefully like a lot of this stuff can just get cleaned up. I mean, we're in the middle of August now, and like I wanted to see like a price and a release date on these consoles like a month ago.
I keep hoping that we'll complain about the price when we record on a Monday, release the episode Thursday, but PlayStation or Xbox announced the price between that and we sound like idiots. Yeah. Please make us sound like idiots, like Microsoft and Sony. Yeah. Make us sound like idiots and release the price tomorrow or something.
Yeah. So yeah, we're definitely gonna to wrap the show. So yeah, so the spotlights, guys, right now is Michael's interview for Tony Hawk's film. So check that out. It's like two episodes back. So definitely check that out. And then mine would just be that Turtle Beach unboxing video. Just, you know, like I said, give it a look, see what you think. Feedback's always appreciated. I already know there's an audio delay. So
yeah, so don't give him that feedback. He's got that.
So I know what I did, you know, didn't do. It's the first time doing an unboxing. I've got some other unboxings planned for some other like keyboard and mice, as well as these headphones are, like I said, PS4, PS5, and Switch compatible. There is an Xbox version coming, and I will have those to talk to you guys about soon. They're probably going to be very similarly constructed, but I'll go more in depth next week on the headphones. And if you watch it on stream, I'll have them, you know, in my hands and show you some stuff. So other than that, like I said before, all the social links are in the show. Follow the main channel on Twitter at Digital Days Pod. Follow Michael at the First MJC. Follow myself at Good Dave Hunt. Join the Facebook group, join the Discord, linked in the show notes below. And then patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming. If you feel so inclined to support us on Patreon, we would appreciate it. A lot of you have already, and that's a super great feeling. We have a $1 tip jar, $3 Discord access to a private Discord channel within our server. Our server is open to the public, but there is a private Discord access for $3 supporters, as well as Twitch subscribers, as long as you link your Discord and Twitch together. And then $5 gets you the podcast 24 hours early, and $7 gets you the monthly bonus episode. And we've done four of those already: food, E3 memories, origin stories of getting into video gaming, journalism, podcasting stuff, and retail war stories. So those are, if you feel so inclined to engage in the $7 tier, you'll get access to all of that bonus content, as well as the early access, the Discord channel. So those are all, those rewards are all stacked on top of each other. So please do not support us on Patreon if you don't have the finances. And then there's also a direct PayPal link if you want to donate to us, like a few of you have already. And we appreciate that. You will help soften the blow of the priceless consoles.
And also just help us with server costs and all sorts of random things that end up happening.
So.
Yeah.
So, all right. I hope everyone has a great week. We will talk to you guys next week.
Yep. See ya. Don't be a dick. Be nice to people.